Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thisweekingeek. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So damn nerdy. I'll take you to the comic shop. Show you all the bills I drop.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Beyond the Gauntlet, recorded live at 14 Mill Street in Orangeville, Ontario, at, well, the Gauntlet. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm probably, I guess, a co-host on this sort of thing. I'm joined with
Chris Peddle, the owner of the Gauntlet.
And Jeff Dehan, a frequent patron of the Gauntlet as well.
So this is our attempt to rip off Smodcast and Comic Book Men. We are the lower rent version of the Secret Stash. I presumably we do play lower rent than them. So this is just us kind of freeballing. This is the premiere pilot episode, the back door, whatever you want to call it, I suppose. It is Sunday, May 25th, I think?
26th, I believe.
26th, whatever. It's Arrested Development Day, that's all I know. And, this is a podcast, as you may guess. What we're going to talk about on this show, well, pretty much like every show on This Week in Geek, we talk about comics, books, movies, video games, whatever the hell else we kind of do. And this will be recorded every other week to every 3 weeks, depending on Chris's schedule. We'll have a variety of guests. Well, guests, people, guys who just kind of walk into the store. Pretty much anybody who walks in the damn door could probably come on this thing as long as Chris is comfortable with them and they don't hold us up at gunpoint. I can tell these guys have the deer in the head looks like. I'm tongue-tied because I can. So you guys should probably talk now because I'm just kind of rambling now.
Well, hey, we just didn't want to overstep anything. You know, you're the host, so letting you do your thing.
But it's also Chris's store, and this was, I guess this was kind of our idea when I first started hanging out here.
Well, yeah, you did recommend that maybe I should do a podcast, you know, get my name floating around out there, help build some recognition for the store, and I think, you know, I've been excited ever since, and I know the moment I said to Jeff I was going to do a podcast, I didn't even finish the sentence before he goes, yes.
Yeah, see, I mean, I just wanted to swindle a bunch of free books at you, and now I have to do work.
Well, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it works, Mike. I mean, you threw the idea at me, and you were the one that had the experience with it, so, you know, let's do this thing, and you can get your free shit.
It's true, and now I don't have to keep this crap in my house.
The ever-present businessman, Mike.
Speaking of crap that's no longer in my house, Chris decided to kidnap my arcade machines. They are now here at the Gauntlet.
Ah, yes. I have given them a delightful home over amongst my shelving, and we'll have them on free play for the time being.
Until we drill the locks out of them.
Well, it's not so much as that. It's, I might keep them as a free play thing just to attract customers.
That's what you should do, and you just need to advertise. I've got arcade machines. What do those guys down the street have?
Nothing.
Hard drugs. And that's pretty much about it. Mm-hmm. But then again, Orangeville is indeed a wretched hive of scum and villainy, which I suppose we should, as we go into this, we should find out what is the history of the Gauntlet, the origin story, the issue zero, if you will.
Oh, God, Mike.
The free comic book day version of this.
I'll give you the very abridged version. Back a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I beat up a hooker, and I thought to myself, well, making the various swings, that I certainly would enjoy selling comic books for a living because I'm into comic books, and my store is not just about comics and graphic novels and collectibles, it's also the gaming side of things. Hence your arcade machines, as well as board games and various role-playing games that go on here. In fact, there's a Pathfinder game going on in the back room as we speak.
Which is kind of, see, that's what I kind of like about small-town comic books. You really kind of, or comic book shop, you kind of build this little sense of community up around you, and that's one thing I found out. I mean, I've been hanging here at the Gauntlet since probably, what, November? Give or take?
I would say give in and around there.
Yeah, and I've come to actually make real friends around here, despite living in, you know, the place that the center of the galaxy is the farthest from, Shelburne. It's a cool place to hang out and actually meet people, do things. I really got into Pathfinder. Chris invited me into the newbie game back in November, which folded because you forgot where we were.
Yeah. You know how many games I run a week in here, Mike? And then if I stop running one for longer than 2 or 3 weeks, I'm like, where were we? Actually, the reason I actually disbanded that game, too, was I had a lot of my players that I classified as veteran, basically graduated from the newbie class to the veteran class, and I wanted to open up some more newbie spots to the game as well. So
yeah, and it's been cool because I've met a lot of interesting people in there as well. I mean, and that's one of the things I don't think people realize. If you want to find a role-playing group, talk to your local comic book store. There's usually like thing on like up on the little bulletin boards. Talk to the shop owner, like looking for a group, and you'd be surprised how many games you can actually find.
And if you actually are a DM or a GM of these games, don't feel free to feel free to come in. I mean, and actually, you know, say, hey, do you have a group that you could attach me to that is willing to try a new game or grow a new community? Because I'm always up for providing table space and or backroom
shenanigans.
Well, that's it. Like attracts likes. So, you know, you got a comic shop, lots of nerdy things going on here, and he's already selling games. It's pretty likely he at least knows somebody that's running a game, if not running some himself, so...
Yeah, I mean, when Chris got me in the Pathfinder, I'd had a very limited experience with Pathfinder. I mean, I'd maybe played one game prior, and then it just kind of turned into like a weekly thing, or bi-weekly thing, rather. And now I'm playing, I think it's once a week now, give or take, or once every other week, or something like that. No, twice a week.
You're in two games, so it's whenever we schedule them.
Yeah, I'm a...
The seeds were planted, and now you're an addict.
I'm basically Krillin in one game from Dragon Ball Z. We made a dwarf monk because I forgot to bring a character. We're like, okay, what's the quickest thing we can possibly do? And then my other one, I'm Hermione.
Yep.
The sorcerer who either is really awesome with a bow or blows her spells and have them blow up in her face spectacularly. Good times.
That it suits you, Mike. It really does.
But I took down an alien war machine, whereas our... We have a guy here named Coleman, and his character, I know his name is Raffle Stomp, but the only way I can remember that is because I call him Raffle Copter in the back of my head. That's the only way. I'm like, what's his name? Raffle Copter, right?
That's some of the more pleasant names he's called.
We also have other nicknames around the group. We have Queerbait. I don't know why we called him that. It's just like one of those offhand comments, I think,
that
we made.
That was when Ray made his elf, and I asked him his name, and then Ryan answered Queerbait before he could. So I just stuck with it because, you know, it's an elf.
Board Game Night's got a guy named Pink Floyd simply because I couldn't remember his real name. So the origins can come up, however...
See, it's taken me a long time to get to know people's names, and I usually have to ask Chris when they're not looking. Psst, what's that guy's name? Mm-hmm. Right, Mountain Dew guy.
I'm terrible with names. Terrible.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was like, I kept saying him about you until you actually introduced this podcast. I'm like, right, it's Mike.
See, when in like our little gaming group, our gaming group is friggin' huge here at the store. So I'm like, what does he normally bring? I know... Ryan, right? Guy sits there normally, brings Mountain Dew and Pepsi. Yes. Then there's Scott, who's the racially offensive monk character.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome.
Toodaloo. Who else do we have?
There's Rob, who is playing cleric character, who is a basically a Puritan priest, for lack of a better term.
He looks like the bad guy from Poltergeist.
He really does. That's the way he describes him.
And then we have Nick, who I knew his name was Nick, and then I saw him yesterday in my house moving the arcade machine. I'm like, who's Nick? And Chris tells me the guy on the list. I'm like, Tower Shield! I remember him. We used him to block the door last time.
Yeah, the Duergar fighter.
Who? Then we got Nick, who was he there last game? I can't remember. No, or was that Ryan?
No, Ryan's the other one. Ryan, that was unfortunately his last game because he had to move to Nova Scotia for 3 months.
But he'll be back.
Eventually.
And then he gets half XP until then. Then we have Coleman. That's a guy I'll never forget.
Raffle Stomp.
God, he's a weirdo. And yeah, that's pretty much the main guy. Oh, and there's James.
James.
The rat guy.
He's playing a rat man from outer space.
And I always think of Rizzo the Rat, which I think that's where he kind of gets. I think his name is Splizzo.
Splizzo. He took Splinter and Rizzo and combined it into one name.
Yeah.
Very original for a rat character.
Yeah, very, very.
And he takes things from us and rides on people's shoulders. It's very weird. He's also responsible for creating the fridge.
creating...
We'll just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that.
Fair enough. Created the fridge. No questions asked. Continue.
And I'm just trying to think of other unique things that happen around comic book stores that maybe people don't necessarily see.
Oh, the conversations we get in here, Mike. And that's why I wanted to do one of these podcasts, because I don't know how many times I've had conversations with Jeff and some of my other regulars like Pat or Scott, and we just ramble off the most insane conversations, and I'm like, I wish I had a record button.
Yeah. Well, it's like the two of you were saying, is it really is kind of that, you know, own little community amongst itself and kind of, you know, family. Like, I'm in here every week on Wednesday, which for any noobs out there is New Comic Book Day, whether I have any comics in or not. And I usually know ahead of time because finances dictate that I don't collect as many comic books as I'd really like, but I would need a lot more money to actually be able to collect everything. Or I'd have to be smart and open a comic shop so I can just read whatever I wanted.
And that's why I did it.
Yeah.
See, I just kind of hang out in here just because I always come out early to hang out for RPG nights. I'm always here like an hour or two early. It's like, eh, I'm bored.
That's just because you soak up the atmosphere, man.
Pretty much.
You know, any geek or nerd or comic junkie or gaming guru will tell you that, you know, you leech off of the vibes in your local comic shop.
Oh, it's just all about the energy.
That was dedicated to this podcast. That's dedicated to the editing.
Thank you.
See, someone will give me shit for like, Mike, stop burping during the podcast. And to them I say, fuck thee.
He's just testing the levels.
That's true.
Testing levels.
Which, our recording setup for this thing, I got some money to buy a new studio a couple of months ago. I unfortunately picked the most ungodly sized mixer. This thing is meant to do outdoor events. So if I ever decide to mix for Fleetwood Mac, I'm probably set. God, this thing is huge. And then I'm recording on a ghetto laptop. But that's how we do things here at This Week's Geek.
Well, we wanted to talk about some comic book stuff today, Mike. So, did you see Iron Man 3?
I did see Iron Man 3. Me and Steve, Snowball Sailor, talked about this at length a couple of weeks ago. But the more I think about that movie, the more I dislike it.
See, I kind of feel the same way, but I feel like the general consensus with this movie is that there was no gray area. People either really liked it or really, really didn't like it.
And the problem is, if you really liked it and then you thought about it, you got moved to the other category quite fast.
It's just like Star Trek In the Darkness. The first time you see it, it's awesome. And then you start thinking about it. And then it falls apart.
And you know what thought did.
Exactly. Like, it's just, That's the thing, though. Like, with movies, I want to love them. I want to genuinely love them. Like, for example, my favorite movie of all time is a tie between Aliens and RoboCop. I can find almost no flaws in those movies, technically. When I look at some of the newer movies that are made, say, in the last 10 years, shit ton of flaws. In the first Iron Man, there's a crap ton. First Spider-Man, there's a crap ton. I don't know, comic movies get a lot of scrutiny because they have this like 40, 50 years of canon before it.
And heaven forbid you stray from that and try to tell a story that didn't come from the source material.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you do with what Bryan Singer did with the first two X-Men movies, and people, you know, they're great adaptations, but you talk to anybody who's a fan, like, oh, they fucked this up, they fucked that up. And it's just, it's one of those things.
Well, when you're dealing with something that's such a broad spectrum of comics and it has such a vast array of history to it, with all the artists and writers that have worked on, you know, any given title through the history of its creation, there's so many possible stories. And even in the comic books themselves, there's inconsistencies. Look how many times, like, Superman or Batman have gone through changes. I mean, Batman went from, you know, just a dude that ran around with a gun in the very beginning, you know, to a campy guy from like Batman in the 60s to like a dark brooding character that he is today. I mean, he's gone through so much metamorphosis, and it's the same with every comic character. And when you're dealing with something like a movie, you know, you're trying to target a vast majority of audiences as well,
which means you can't please everybody.
It's impossible. The way I view comic book movies is more or less like a separate universe. Like, you use Marvel, you've got, you know, the main Marvel universe, they've got the Ultimate universe, and I feel like then they have the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
And they can take liberties if they want. X-Men 3 is probably a very good example of that, where they really kind of veered, you know, off course of the source material. But that's the cinematic universe. If they want to have Spider-Man have natural webbing coming out of his wrists instead of making the web shooters, so be it. It doesn't necessarily mean the movie's crap just because they changed the one little detail.
Yeah, because it worked better in one universe. Like, see, with Andrew Garfield, and I think it was Mark Webb who directed the new one. Amazing. Him making the web shooters made sense. They established him as very smart, as a genius right out in the beginning. When you look at the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Parker's smart, but he's not genius level smart.
He's more dopey smart. Like just an intellectual loser.
Yeah.
Is with the way they portrayed the character.
Yeah, and that's like something I think a lot of comic book movie fans and everybody needs to remember. These are interpretations. I mean, one movie I didn't want them to fuck up in the worst way. I still enjoy it despite what it is. I'm going all the way back to 1997 and Spawn.
All right.
I love that movie, but Jesus, did you fuck it up?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, John Leguizamo as the Violator Clan.
That was awesome.
That was both awesome and horrid at the same time.
Let's be honest, though, it's probably Leguizamo's greatest role.
That and The Pest, which is a movie nobody remembers, but I do.
No love for Luigi, though, huh?
Actually, I kind of liked him in Land of the Dead. He was pretty badass.
Yeah, as Cholo. That's it.
Cholo, yeah.
Which, I don't know, that just reminds me. There's just tangent. If you have American Netflix, it might be on Canadian, too. I'm not sure. There's a documentary called That Guy Who Was in That Thing, and it's about people you see in every movie, like Mark Ralston or Xander Berkeley, or I'm trying to think of other guys.
Steve Buscemi's like that.
Yeah, like they're in everything. You've seen them in like.
But you can't remember the name. Yeah. So this is why IMDb was invented.
Yeah, and I just remember that one of the guys, the guy who had the lazy eye, who hung out with, not John Leguizamo's character, the other guy who was the lead in that movie. I guess that's how memorable he is.
Yeah, I cannot remember for the life of me. Mind you, it's also been a few years since I watched it.
But he was the guy who had the rifle and always had to lick the sight to take away the glare, and he could hit anything.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so tangent done now.
But back to the whole comic movie thing, I mean, when it comes to comic movies, if I leave the movie going with a sense of awe, like I read a comic book, you know, I feel that that movie accomplished what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to entertain me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are the occasional comic movie, and you know which ones are the bad ones and which ones are the good ones. You know, if you come out going, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. Those are obviously the bad ones. Now, Iron Man 3 started off being, oh my God, that was awesome. But then the more you thought about it,
the second you left the theater and got into your car,
once you were able to, you know, process the whole thing. And that's the thing. I'm the same way. I never like to kind of review a movie or give my thoughts immediately after I've watched it. Because if it was at least somewhat entertaining or enjoyable, I'll be like, it was great. I really have to kind of think about it to be able to kind of notice flaws. And sometimes I just don't care. I'm a big Batman fan. I love Dark Knight Rises.
Oh my God, I hated that.
Plethora of flaws. I will give you that. And a lot of them are valid. But being a Batman fan, I enjoyed it. Was it as good as The Dark Knight? Hell no. But I enjoy it for what it was. But as far as Iron Man 3, I enjoyed it when I was done.
And then you thought about it.
And then I thought about it. And
let me ask you this. Can you defend Green Lantern? Because you are wearing a Green Lantern shirt today.
Oh, can I defend Green Lantern? The best thing I can say about the Green Lantern movie is that
we saw Kilowog.
10-year-old me, 12-year-old me probably would have loved it because it was colorful. It was a fun superhero movie. And let's be honest, if you're a kid, you're not really thinking about story logic.
Was it this generation's Spawn?
Think about
possibly. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. No. It's stupid. But it's kind of okay.
It was enjoyable in that respect, in my opinion. And Mark Strong, hands down, best part of that. Sinestro,
oh, Sinestro,
he blew that movie away.
I love the Sinestro movie.
You know, the thing with the Green Lantern movie, and a lot of people rag on this movie, and I'm one of them, but when it all boils down to it, a bad comic movie usually boils down to whoever wrote it just didn't know enough about the character. Mm-hmm. And this was a complete clusterfuck example of that.
See, I think the
when they not only got
toys.
The origin of Parallax wrong, they got the origin of Hector Hammond wrong. Mm-hmm. And when you throw a bunch of that, and if even if you're not a fanboy, you still get the movie derails itself just from its own lack of knowledge.
Well, do you not feel like stuff was cut?
Oh, there was definitely stuff cut.
Definitely,
from that movie.
And I mean, like, okay, if it wasn't for Mark Strong's Sinestro. Yeah, this would be a steaming pile of crap.
Okay, there are three good things I can say about Green Lantern. Okay, number one, Mark Strong. We've already established that. Yes. We all enjoyed Mark Strong. Number two, they handled the constructs okay.
Yeah, they actually looked cool.
They looked cool, okay.
I can agree. A couple nitpicks with that. We'll get to that later. Go ahead.
And the third thing was I actually didn't mind Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan.
And I completely agree. I find the things that I didn't like about his portrayal had more to do with the writing than his portrayal.
Yeah.
I think he would have been a better Guy Gardner or maybe Kyle Rayner. Hal Jordan to me would have been Nathan Fillion.
And I agree. I think the only issue with that is Nathan Fillion, whom I love in just about everything he does, is getting a little old for an origin Hal Jordan role. That's the only thing I think of. Like,
yeah.
he's not supposed to be a retired fighter pilot. He's supposed to be a still-going fighter pilot.
How old is Fillion? Like, 40-something?
He's in his 40s, yeah.
48, okay. I believe.
Like, I mean, yeah. you look at some pictures from Firefly, and you can start to see it. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I keep saying he's aged well, but it's not like he's that old. Like, I mean, I'm going to be 40 in 6 years, so, I mean, I can't really talk, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I just mean that, as far as that role, like, any animated Green Lantern movie, don't look any farther than Fillion.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and the first DC straight-to-DVD movie they did.
First Flight?
Yeah, that one was great, and the guy that did Hal did a great job, but then you watch Emerald Knights, and Nathan Fillion is Green Lantern for that, you know?
I also thought Victor Garber was a good choice for Sinestro, too.
Yeah. He plays a great villain in everything he does.
Mm-hmm. He's an eccentric guy, though. If you've ever seen like Alias, and then see some of the interviews he's done after that, he's a weird guy, but an awesome guy.
But yeah, so there we go. That's somewhat of our defense of Green Lantern. But
defend Ghost Rider.
I can't. It's impossible.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, no,
and this podcast is over. No,
that's There's no defending
you can't
that.
Defend Ghost Rider or that. Bastard child of a sequel they did.
There might be
some funny parts.
I was about to say that. There might be moments that you can find kind of funny or, you know, interesting, but overall, it's just no. I mean, like the first time Nicolas Cage starts changing and he's got this maniacal laughter going, I'm like, oh my God.
And his fake rubber muscles.
This is Nick Cage. He gets crazy, and I'm sure he looks for a chance to
let
act
go.
That way, to let go in every movie. You look at Kick-Ass when he's on fire and he starts shouting all these unintelligible orders to his daughter. Now that scene I actually liked, even though it wasn't in the comics. The idea that he would have trained his daughter so well that he had a language that only the two of them knew that was shouting orders, and that he was doing that while he was on fire, that I find badass.
Yeah, when you give Nick Cage the right role, he's really good. I just think Ghost Rider wasn't. I think if he did Ghost Rider on in his career.
Oh God, yeah.
Back
in the days of like Con Air and The Rock.
Or Face Off.
Oh, Don, yeah. when he was in his prime. Oh, he would have been perfect for that role. Because he didn't really go crazy in those movies necessarily. Either.
Yeah, he gave it his all, but not weird all.
Exactly.
Like, I think the best movie he's ever done is Face Off and The Rock.
Face Off is still a great movie. I mean. You know,
that was also before John Travolta.
I was about
nuts.
To say what you want about either one of them. That's a fantastic movie from both.
I'm sure what was the last good movie Travolta did? And no one can say Battlefield Earth, although it's hilarious.
That movie crossed my mind, but as a sarcastic example, not literal. Jeez, I don't know.
Face Off. Michael.
I forgot about that.
Get Shorty.
Who the
Phenomenon.
Fuck? Phenomenon. Was he in the sequel for Get Shorty? Yeah.
Be Cool. Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was in.
That was the one where the Rock was a gay bodyguard.
Was that?
Yeah, I really enjoyed
that. Was that after Battlefield or before?
That was after.
The sequel would have been after. I don't know about Get Shorty, but Be Cool was definitely after, because The Rock wasn't making movies when Battlefield Earth was out.
That reminds me, The Rock, could you cast him in anything comic booky outside of G.I. Joe? He was awesome in that.
I think you could. He's proven lately, like, he's really stepped up his game. Like, when he was still kind of part-time wrestling and doing his movies, like, you know, Scorpion King, stuff like that, when he first started. And even when he started doing the family ones, which were probably, again, if you're a kid, you probably would have found them funny. And that's, but now, like, Fast Five, I haven't seen the sixth one yet, but Fast Five, he really stepped up his game. You look a lot at a lot of the roles that he's done now, is he's an actor now.
Faster was fantastic, too. Yeah. He was really serious in that one as well. That was good. But as far as what could Rock play, I'm totally on board with him playing Absorbing Man.
Really?
I could see that, actually. I never thought of that.
I think he'd be an okay Luke Cage.
I heard rumors about that. I don't know if he can be as ghetto as Luke Cage is, though, like language-wise and stuff.
Terry Crews is Luke Cage.
There you go. There you go.
Which, I met that guy. I went to a press junket for Expendables 2, I think it was last year. That man has hands the size of goddamn snow shovels. He is huge. Like, I'm pretty sure he was built in a lab somewhere.
Now, Rock is, I think he is set to play Hercules, but I don't know if it's going to be, I don't think it's a comic book thing. I think it's more of just, like, you know, mythical Hercules.
Yeah, he might be able to play the Marvel version of Hercules.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying he couldn't. Like, he's definitely built for it. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but anybody see the stills of him in Pain and Gain?
Oh, yeah.
The guy's got arms the size of me. You know, like, he was huge. So, I think he definitely could. It's a matter of finding the right role. Speaking of wrestlers in comic book movies, thoughts on Batista in Guardians of the Galaxy?
He plays Drax, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little on the fence with Guardians of the Galaxy in whole, just because I don't know if it's a big enough franchise name to do a movie of, because, you know, things like Iron Man or The Incredible Hulk or Thor or Avengers or Superman or any of those, or Batman, any of those names, even people who don't know much about comics
have an idea.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, there are people who come into my store who collect comics weekly that didn't know what Guardians of the Galaxy
was. Only reason they're doing it is because of A, Thanos, and I guarantee you, I promise you, the only reason they're doing it, Rocket Raccoon, because it's weird, and because of Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
It's,
it's probably
and
it.
I mean, I feel like the reaction when they first announced that Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a movie, you had the people who were comic book fans went, really? And the people who weren't comic book fans went, Guardians of the what now?
Yeah, like, I don't know why they wouldn't do something like, say, X-Force, or...
Well, X-Force...
The X-Men stuff is owned by Fox.
It's still owned by Fox. That's kind of it. It all comes down to rights, and that's what I find so ridiculous.
But so now, speaking of X-Men, we've got word, apparently, that Mr. Whedon himself is voting Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the next Avengers 2 movie.
And we've heard from Singer that he's got them in the next X-Men movie.
So it's going to be an interesting crossover, and I don't know how that happened, being that...
Supposedly, they're arguing back and forth that you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yes, what I've read, and I mean, you know, if you read it on the internet, that means it has to be true, that... In the X-Men films, they can't say anything about them being Avengers. And in the Avengers film, they can't say anything about their mutant heritage or that they're Magneto's kids. Now, they're doing this smart enough. First of all, if they don't even keep the same actors cast in the roles, that'll be ridiculous. This is the perfect chance to be able to bridge these two different worlds as one without technically doing it, if they at least cast the same actors. But they're doing the X movie first, which means they're established as Magneto's kids and as mutants. So when they come on for Avengers 2, you don't even have to say that, because chances are the majority of the audience will have already seen X-Men Days of Future Past.
And you could probably even get away with their origin as a throwaway line. Be like, hey, aren't you some kind of... Don't say it.
We don't associate with him.
Yeah,
aren't you the kids of... We
don't
talk about that.
Exactly. We don't talk about that.
You know?
Yeah, and that's a very easy way to explain away that. However, they've tried to do that with certain other franchises, and I'll give you a really good example of this. Have either of you played Aliens Colonial Marines?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Do you remember the throwaway line when they ask Hicks, where were you?
No, because I didn't really play much. I didn't play very far in the game because I didn't like it very much.
The storyline, basically, Hicks gets kidnapped. Oh, spoilers. And if you haven't played it since February, just don't play it. they have a throwaway line where they ask Hicks, well, Where were you? Oh, it's a long story. I'll tell you later. You could literally pull that in one of these Marvel movies as long as they do for future past first.
Which they are. That's being recorded now, and it's coming out in 2014. So it's out a full year before Avengers 2 is supposed to.
Yeah, so you could pull it off there with respect, more or less.
Because they can do the, you know, the origin story for the X-Men movie. And then, you know, just they're already established heroes. They can bring them in for the Avengers. Now, speaking of X-Men Days of Future Past, what are your guys' thoughts? And by the way, can I just say I love this Iron Man 3 talk that we've been having? It's fantastic. what are your thoughts on the potential for them to maybe retcon stuff from, like, X-Men Origins Wolverine, although they could probably just pretend that didn't happen, or more importantly, X3, because
I think
we have
Hugh Jackman, who now owns Wolverine, is counting that not to have happened.
Exactly, but I mean, we have Patrick Stewart confirmed to be in Days of Future Past, but anybody who hasn't seen X-Men 3, The Last Stand, it's been a while, so I'm not even going to say spoilers, but, you know, Xavier dies in that movie, and yes, his consciousness kind of is put into another body, but it's still kind of, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to bring Jean back? Because they're going into an alternate future, they've got the chance to really kind of retcon a lot of different things from that movie.
But I think the Wolverine happens after Days of Future Past and definitely after X3.
Stuff for the Wolverine, yes, I'm talking, but the origin one?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully the Wolverine isn't a big stinker and they don't have to worry about anything like that.
From some of the people I know that have seen early copies of it, like work print stuff, it's supposed to be good. Like,
that's good.
I've heard a lot of really good response to it. I don't know. I think Fox really dropped the ball on the Marvel stuff. Like, There should have been a plan coming in, like Jon Favreau and everybody else had, and Kevin Feige, for the Marvel Phase 1, Phase 2, etc.
I think they kind of did. I think
Marvel screwed it up along the way.
I think Marvel was pretty surprised when Singer was like, "See ya, I'm going to do Superman." You know, which kind of blew up in everybody's face because Superman Returns didn't exactly work out for him.
It was horrible.
Which is weird. I like Brandon Routh as Superman. I like Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. The problem is, have you noticed with almost every Superman movie, he doesn't throw a punch, really?
That's why I'm looking forward to Man of Steel.
Why we have Zod. We've seen him throw a punch in the trailer.
But that's the thing, though. It's always Zod. It's never, like, Metallo or Parasite.
I was feeling the same way whenever I found out they would cast Zod for Man of Steel. Or not cast him, but that he was the villain. And I was like, oh, really? Again? Because I don't like to see, if they're going to be doing reboots, I'd like to, while they can reuse villains, I'd like to see them use somebody fresh. But I think for an opening movie, this is a good idea because it is a villain that is within everybody's consciousness. Like, think about it. Anybody who only really knows Superman from the movies, if you have Metallo as the villain,
they're going to be like, what? Yeah.
Oh, he's taking on a robot that's powered by kryptonite. You know, they're not, they have to know a little bit about them. And I mean, I'm just glad they're, I'd rather Zod over Luthor again.
See, I would give you Luthor if you put him in the battle armor.
See, and that's the other thing. Luthor, as far as a Superman villain in the movies, you know, Gene Hackman, Kevin Spacey, I mean, they both did their own brilliant jobs with the character. But, you know, it feels a little lackluster when it hits the big screen.
I feel like
you want somebody like Superman
needs to cook over a while.
I think they need to cast a younger Luthor, which I'm sure they will for this.
Michael Rosenbaum, they should just bring him back. He's a wonderful.
Oh my God, best Luthor ever!
You know what? He'll always be. I mean, first to me, he'll always be Flash because I love his Flash stuff. But no, I agree, he's good. But somebody that's closer to the same age as the guy playing Superman as Henry Cavill would be nice. But definitely somebody younger, because I feel like with Spacey, and I realized that this was meant to be Singer's homage to the old Superman movies, and basically supposed to be Superman 3, technically. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way he was looking at it, was a sequel more to the first two, not the third or fourth.
Yeah.
So I can understand him casting Spacey because of Hackman in the first ones. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel
it was the same damn plot as the first one.
Oh, exactly.
Kevin Spacey and Gene Hackman were both trying to blow some shit up for property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it
was a real estate movie, really. I mean, and then in Superman Returns, Superman was such a friggin' creeper. All he did was, like, fly around and spy on Lois. It was just like, that's what he did. He flew around and spied on Lois.
What
I mean, when Lois's new boyfriend, played by
Cyclops there. James Marsden?
James Marsden out-acted everybody else in the movie. You know there's a problem.
Yeah. Especially considering he did such a horrible job of Cyclops half the time.
Yeah. Although he was really good in the movie Hairspray, despite only being in it for like 10 minutes.
Agreed. But another Travolta movie.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're right. He was awesome in Hairspray.
There's his last good movie.
There we go. The light has come to the surface. Right? But when it comes to Man of Steel, though, though they're again reusing Zod, I'm glad they're not reusing Luthor again. And it might set this up for a Brainiac for number two because of the fact that one of the reasons why Brainiac comes to Earth is because originally General Zod basically was another Kryptonian and he followed Zod.
Oh, okay.
Do you have, since Chris, obviously you run a comic book store, do you have the Man of Steel tie-in? Because they introduced Supergirl into it and Brainiac.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. I didn't hear about Brainiac. I knew about Supergirl for the tie-in, though, because it takes place, it's like prequel comics or prior to.
Do you have it?
The comic hasn't been released yet.
Well, okay. Fuck.
What I'm hoping they do with Luthor for Man of Steel, I hope they kind of take a step from Sony with Amazing Spider-Man and Norman Osborn. We know about Norman Osborn, we know about Oscorp, but the character isn't introduced yet. So you sort of plant the seeds. All we need is a building or a billboard that says Luthor Corp on it. That's all we need in this movie.
Or maybe own the Daily Planet or something.
And the seed is planted. That's it.
Luthor will work better in these new Superman movies, or Man of Steel, as a background menace behind the scenes.
The puppeteer.
The less you know about him, the better he will work until the big reveal. Now, that's the problem, though. Can they hold off that?
Now,
like, I would love to see maybe a second and third movie be like Brainiac and maybe Darkseid and then do Luthor.
You could probably, you know what? I bet you, honestly, you could pull a Doomsday with this stuff.
Oh, God, yes.
Especially if they go ahead with a full Justice League movie. That's probably where Doomsday would come in if they managed to pull that
off. I'm thinking if they, let's say they follow the Nolan formula. You do three movies. Man of Steel establishes the universe. Two, he fights someone big. It's probably going to be Luthor. Or I'm going to wager it's either going to be Darkseid or Doomsday. And three, it's Luthor. That's what I think
I think that would be good. And I think for the third one, you find out that Luthor was the one pulling the strings for the big bad for the second one.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it in the second one. Find out that Luthor was, you know...
Well, that's why I think Brainiac would work very well for the second one. Actually, Doomsday would too, because technically Luthor was behind... teams up with Brainiac in the comic more often than not, as well as he was the one that LexCorp basically found Doomsday buried in the earth and unleashed him accidentally.
Yeah, so there's so many ways for these universes to go, and it seems to be Marvel has more franchise power. DC has better movies, but that's changing now.
There is one thing I will say, okay, and I'm going to say this: Avengers, I loved it. Okay, that movie was nothing but eye candy on a screen, It was eye candy on a screen because I saw every character I loved growing up in one movie.
Yeah. I just wanted the Vision. But I'm willing to let that go.
Well, he might be in the second one. You never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing that the Marvel movies seem to have, is they have a lot more eye candy in them. They're not as well written, I don't think, but the eye candy's there a little more. You get to see Iron Man rocketing around with rocket thrusters and shooting booty beams at people.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is the Avengers movie was just complete nerdgasm.
It's,
you know,
popcorn,
here you
right?
go. And I mean, they couldn't have picked a better person to do it than Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
So, but exactly that. They were popcorn movies. They were well enough written. They had humor to them. And they're able to, and because they tie all these universes together, they're able to kind of keep that vibe going. Even if you're not crazy about a movie like Iron Man 3, we can still see how it relates to the Avengers and how it ties into that whole universe.
Although it did feel kind of forced, though, didn't it, though? I mean, because that one little kid kept asking him about New York, but that almost works to Marvel's advantage. Marvel movies feel like a living comic book.
Mm-hmm.
DC movies feel like a story.
Yes.
Because you look at the Dark Knight trilogy, mm-hmm. Man of Steel looks like it's going to be taken rather serious.
Yeah.
I don't think Justice League would work.
No,
in
just
that universe.
The problem with the Justice League movie is what happened is DC Comics, or Warner Brothers in this case, went, oh my god, the Avengers work. We have to do this now. And they put no planning. They went the exact reverse order. And they're like, instead of making all these origin movies and then leading them up into one movie together, they're going reverse order and going, we're going to do the Justice League movie and then worry about their origins later.
Yeah.
Like, it is not going to work. And I think because of that, it's going to cheese out the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't agree with what they're doing, but I kind of like the idea of the reverse order if it wasn't so motivated just by having to compete.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be awesome if they actually did do a Justice League movie, and then from there you can kind of see who they like. Because look, how many people after the Avengers were clamoring for another Hulk movie? And we're not going to get it until after Avengers 2.
Yeah.
He was one of the best parts of that movie, and I'm not just talking about Hulk. Ruffalo, whom everybody was like, really, when he was cast, was fantastic.
Ass.
He channeled like the Bill Bixby, Bruce Banner, which is what I grew up watching, and did it so perfectly. And you were just as happy to see the Banner scenes as you were to see the Hulk scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
and made Hawkeye cool again.
That, by the way, was one of the things I did like about Iron Man 3 was the after credits thing with Banner.
You are the only one I know that has ever said that. I'm thinking, really, that's it?
I liked it when I saw it, but it's one of those once I thought about it things. But we can get to that in a bit. But as far as Justice League, that's because then if everybody, you know, keeps saying, oh, well, we'll do a Wonder Woman movie and everything, or TV show, and it never seems to work. But
supposedly,
I feel like
they're working on one now.
I feel like if they
supposedly been working on one for a very long time, on and off.
I feel like if they did a Justice League movie and they had a great Wonder Woman in it, then people would want to see a solo Wonder Woman movie, and you could do the origin movie that leads up to that, and then from there go after. But that's, again, with them actually giving thought to a Justice League movie,
now they're
as opposed
like
to saying, oh, Avengers 2 is coming out in 2015? Well, guess what? So is a Justice League movie. Do we know what we're doing? Hell no!
Yeah.
You know? Like, come on.
And, like, what people do you even kind of put in that, too? I mean, because the Justice League roster is, like, as long as my friggin' arm.
Oh, and just because something is successful,
doesn't
you
mean
don't
it's
have to. Well, not what I'm getting at. You're right, but not what I'm getting at right now. Just because something's successful, let it go. We do not need Christian Bale or Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Batman in a Justice League movie. We can get somebody else, because Nolan's universe was meant to be played straight and like real world stuff. So to have those characters in Justice League just because you liked those movies, it does a disservice to the character, to the movie, and I think to the fans.
Yeah, because Christian Bale's and Christopher Nolan's Batman doesn't belong in a Justice League universe.
Exactly.
It's not the same feel. Now, it's not to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt could work, not as Batman. He'd be an excellent Nightwing.
I agree. And
yeah,
that I could see. I'm
sure
fine with him not being Dick Grayson, because technically it's just the name. I feel like he played Dick Grayson in Dark Knight Rises. I mean, look, he was a cop. Grayson was a cop for a while. You know, he basically was Batman's sidekick, and, you know, his real name was Robin, which was the little fan service that they had in Dark Knight Rises. Spoilers, by the way, but it's been a couple years. So I feel like he basically did play the role of Dick Grayson. So Nightwing, I could see. But if they want a Batman, I don't feel like those two universes are going to mesh. Plus, Nolan told a
story.
Bring
Clooney back!
Nolan, oh god, the bat nipples. Nolan told a story. He had a beginning, actually called Begins. He had a middle, and he had an end, and it ended it. Pretty much everything was tied up. Say what you will about how good the last movie was or what plot holes they had in it. For the most part, they tied everything up. You don't need to continue taking blood from that stone, you know?
Yeah. Well, the end of the Nolan Batman movies with Batman dying, so to speak, reminded me a lot, though, of Iron Man 3's ending, where suddenly Tony Stark just manages to fix the problem he has with the shrapnel in his chest, cure everybody in the last 30 seconds of the movie, and live happily ever after.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not happy with the sunset ending, but if that's the end of Tony Stark,
well,
I'm okay with it.
And I think the reason they did this is because Iron Man 3 was Robert Downey Jr.'s last contractual obligation as Stark. So I feel like because they're still going through negotiations, and I'm sure he'll be back for Avengers 2, but that might be it. There might not be any more Iron Man movies. I feel like they wanted to have some closure. And you know what? If that's the last solo Iron Man movie, I am totally cool with that.
And here's the thing. If he comes back into Avengers, he could just be Tony Stark. He could be, like, just a science advisor. Coordinator or science advisor or mm-hmm. something like that. He doesn't yeah. have to actually put the armor on. I mean, you could bring back Don Cheadle and have him as War Machine.
Or you yeah. could, or, like, if they wanted to bring in Robert Downey Jr., you could have him as Iron Man. You could say, look, guys, I'm really busy. I can't help you. Here's this new guy I've been working with, Hank Pym.
Exactly. You could do any number of things, which, by the way, Nathan Fillion playing Hank Pym would be epic if they could pull it off.
Well, I think we're probably in agreement. We can put Fillion in just about any role, and we'd probably all be happy. But,
except Wasp. Or maybe Elektra.
There you go. But I agree. That would be great. Where did I hear this?
Hell, Ultron would be an awesome villain for one of these movies.
So there was another.
Oh, for sure.
There was another podcast that I was listening to, or maybe it was something I heard here. I don't know. But somebody said with that post-credits thing, it would have been great if instead of it being Banner, he's talking to a doctor. And you know, after he tells his story and everything, it's like, oh, thank you, Dr. Strange, you know, or yeah. thank you, Stephen. And it's got yeah. Dr. Stephen
actually,
Strange on the door,
actually,
which would have been just a great, even if it's just fan service and you don't see Dr.
I haven't
Strange
verified this myself, but I've had three or four people tell me who have seen the movie multiple times now that in the end scene where Tony Stark is talking about he got the shrapnel removed from his mm-hmm. chest, apparently if you look at one of the doctors that's working on him, he looks just like Doctor Strange. He's got like the actual graying hair on the edge, and he, you know, got the best surgeon he could find.
You know what? And that's quite possible.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, but it would have been nice to kind of have it sort of that nod sort of mentioned, or, because to say he kind of looks like it, that's...
Or just maybe well, in the background, that, in the mix, paging Doctor Strange, please report to OR3.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
You know what? But, I mean, I feel like that was their way of just kind of tying it all up. Like, it really did feel like the last Iron Man movie.
Yeah, like Tony Stark's journey as Iron Man is done. Mm-hmm. Now that the technology's out there, Don Cheadle as Rhodes has established the Iron Patriot mm-hmm. armor works.
Yeah.
Maybe they could establish the vault and there could be guardsman armor out there now. There's no need for Iron Man.
I love the giant red herring that Marvel and Disney like threw out there, because when they're announcing this movie and they're showing off armors, oh, look, it's Tony Stark's deep space armor, and everybody's like, oh my god, the post-credits thing, he's going to space, he's going to see the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they didn't show that armor once in the entire movie.
See, I wanted the Hulkbuster armor, but I think I saw it.
Yes, that's the one that kind of held up the thing that was falling, that the only one you saw that wasn't flying when it bursted yeah. through. They didn't call it Hulkbuster, but come on, that's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my god,
all
when
right.
I saw that.
There's an issue that we have to talk about, and that was the entire Mandarin thing. I mean, if we're going back to Iron Man, which it looks like we are,
the
Iron Man thing.
I was okay in the theater. When I left, 10 seconds later, hey, that was kind of fucking stupid, but it was clever.
I actually didn't really care for it right off the bat. That was one of the things that I really didn't like about it, mostly because, and I'm still giving a credit to... Ben Kingsley, who did a fantastic job both as the Mandarin in his role, quote unquote, and as the drunk actor playing him. And we've already said spoilers enough times. Yes, Trevor. He played both those roles, which I guess is technically one role, but he played them perfectly. I don't like it because I think he did such a fantastic job as the terrorist, the Mandarin, that to just cast that off as nothing. Just was...
It kind of sucks me, but then again, you look at the Mandarin as a character. He's a 1960s racial stereotype.
Yes.
With a Fu Manchu. I'm okay with it. I do like how they reference the Ten Rings and how AIM has been behind this the whole time. I thought that was kind of cool. But, see, the villain in this movie sucked.
Well,
Guy
what
Pierce
was his
never
motivation?
Be your endgame.
What was his motivation? Like, even after he, you know, revealed that the Mandarin wasn't real and that it was all this guy who was all crazy and everything, did he ever actually say what he wanted to do?
He just wanted to create a war economy. So it was basically Metal Gear Iron Man.
And he created and caused one of the biggest supervillain blunders that...
Extremis?
That, well, no. That Bond villains were notorious for was we've incapacitated the good guy, but let's not do anything about it. We'll just leave him here.
Yeah,
when he breathed fire at Rhodes,
yeah.
He could have taken and killed Rhodes. Instead, he left him unconscious on the staircase. First of all, breathed fire. Second of all...
That's the thing that I really hated about this movie. Get to that in a second. Go ahead.
But he just leaves Rhodes there, and then Rhodes gets up the next scene and busts Tony Stark out. And it's just like, okay, guys, seriously?
To quote Seth Green from Austin Powers, I got a gun in my room. Oh, go get it. We can shoot him together right now. It'll be over. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like, you have him, and it's like, because overconfidence always leads to a fall. And that's, it's so cliche, but so true, because he could, all he had to do was like, oh,
I can, in the head.
I just have to touch you, and oh, look, you're dead.
Or
I,
breathe fire on him again. You already showed us that trick.
If he wanted to see him suffer, all he had to do was pull out the quantum whatever thing in his chest. God, yeah. I'm horrible with that name.
I mean, yeah, there are just so many things that
could...
The flux capacitor in his chest. Because yeah. When he hits 88 years old, he's going to see some serious shit.
He certainly is.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, comic book movies... I mean, because we got to start kind of wrapping this up. Number one, I really got to go to the bathroom. But I don't know. It's weird. You can't please everybody. We've definitely established that.
Yeah.
But there's good cheese. There's bad cheese.
And it's a fine line between the two.
But basically, you get this combo platter. Sometimes you get some good stuff, sometimes you get some bad stuff. But overall, I'm still relatively pleased of everything that we've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
Withstanding Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider 2.
Daredevil.
I like Daredevil.
Elektra.
I thought I was the only one. I liked Daredevil. I didn't love it, but at the time, I thought it was enjoyable.
I don't think Affleck's a bad Matt Murdock.
I never liked Garner as Elektra because she was too girl next door. It's nothing against Jennifer Garner as an actress or as a person.
She's fucking Sidney Bristow. That's all she will ever be remembered
for.
There you go,
man.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. So the next time on Beyond the Gauntlet, what are we going to talk about? Who the fuck?
We'll figure it out when the time comes.
All right, guys. So for This Week in Geeks Beyond the Gauntlet, we have been...
Chris Peddle, owner of the Gauntlet.
Jeff DeHaan, patron of the Gauntlet.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. God, I gotta...